The views expressed in this presentation are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent the views of any lodge, Grand Lodge, appended body, or any other person or persons whomsoever.
Brothers, we are at refreshment.
Eminent Grand Commander of the Knights Templar of the State of Illinois.
Joe Farrell, past master.
And Mark.
Patrick Robin.
You are so fired up!
And I've made so many good friends, some that drag you into podcasts.
Confirm. All day.
And you want to fix it, you want to help with the purple tassel.
There's no, don't worry about it. You won't get it.
I myself am part of that 10%.
You join the shrine, you just got his way.
You're here.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the At Refreshment of the Sonic Video Podcast. Short?
Is that what short. We're calling it?
Promo?
Promo?
Promo, short, whatever. Anyways, you'll feature. Recognize us.
Feature.
Once again, I'm your host, Wesley Reuter. Let's meet everyone else real quick once again. To my right.
Hi, I'm Eric Maxa. Hi, I'm Eric Maxa. Villa Park Lodge, 1113. Junior Deacon.
Marty, Villa Park Lodge, Hinsdale Lodge, Keystone Royal Arch Chapter, DuPage Council, and many other places you'd probably like to be.
Oh, yeah. Little bit. Yoshi, Villa Park Lodge, number 1113, and like Marty, a slew of other things, and actually probably everybody else here is a slew of other things, but you know, we're here to celebrate masonry and talk about masonry.
You can see we're at the wonderful Villa Park Lodge.
And our guest today, please welcome back,
Aaron Wilcox, Hinsdale Lodge 934, and just like all of you, member of the Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of the State of Illinois.
Well, we welcome back.
I'm truly sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. Sometimes that's I forget right. my
it's,
own name.
It's been okay. a brain fart day and everything.
Dude, it's been a brain problem. Fart week. Yes, it really has. Yeah.
So, Marty, this is your...
I wanted to bring on Aaron. So what I kind of wanted to let you guys know, and maybe for some of those at home that don't know what I really do besides doing the Party Marty thing on podcasts and seeing me around Grotto, I am the fundraising chair along with Steve DeVries and a great council of people, including my wife and some other beautiful people, where we raise money for autism through the Royal Arch Masons Charitable Foundation. Pretty much every body of masonry has their, you know, pet charity or their project. Ours is autism. Pretty much we use many different fundraising efforts, parties, selling tchotchkes, our Society's Irrevocable Endowment, and other things to raise money. Where maybe Shriners Hospitals for Children, Grotto Humanitarian Foundation actually provides an exact service. We raise the money, then we do one large presentation at the end of the year to a place that is local to one of the three areas of the Royal Arch. Mm-hmm. So right now we're wrapping up a two-year term with Hope Foundation, which is in the middle of the state, and then we'll be going southern, and that'll be announced this July. But so I do raise money for that. You can catch me at all the Royal Arch and other York Rite events working the table. But to this year, if I have a chance to work with Aaron, I work with Aaron. That's just a general rule that I follow. I wanted to create one amazing custom piece that's one of a kind that we could bring from state event to state event, sell a raffle ticket for a very fair price, and then raffle that off and put the proceeds to our little big pile of money we want use to help the children.
Did you say Masonic tchotchkes?
Masonic tchotchkes all day.
I know, right? You get that itch.
So, Aaron, we had him on the show before. One of your first mediums was working with ties.
Correct.
Then you switched to aprons.
Yes.
And last year we had a pretty cool one-of-a-kind item. Mark Jacobs, who's been on the show before, did that custom guitar.
It was a cool guitar.
It was very cool, but I felt like this year, to step it up, there's only one way. And I reached out to Aaron to make this beautiful apron that I'm sure is being shown on the screen right now from a bunch of delicious B-roll that Wes is going to shoot. But you made this beautiful apron that has 24-karat gold on it. I'm throwing the floor to you. We're going to be, again, Wes should have the B-roll on the screen. What was your inspiration to make this? Because I know you're very happy to do it, and the art is stunning, but I've never really heard your full interpretation.
So really the apron was an opportunity for me to do something besides a Grand Lodge apron or a Blue Lodge apron. So
is that mostly your bread and butter?
Well, that's what I've done so far. Okay. So I've done a past Grand Master's apron for the one of the Grand Masters of Bulgaria. Currently, I'm working on one for the Grand Master of the Philippines, and doing some other Grand Lodge aprons. And I've done many past Masters aprons. Really, that's where I got my start, doing past Masters aprons. And I just wanted to kind of bring back a little bit more of the traditional kind of iconic apron that you'd see when maybe you do a Google search when you're a new mason, and you find like Robert Bruns, you know, Scottish hand-painted silk apron or embroidered aprons that you might see in the early colonial times in Freemasonry. I thought that it was so beautiful, and as Masons, we're taught to be natural lovers of the arts and sciences, and so we hide a lot of our teachings in artistry.
Yeah.
And so when we go through the degrees, we're looking at artistic pieces, whether it be on the floor or it be on the wall or projected. And so I just really wanted to, as an artist, being that I am a fine artist, I wanted to contribute to the modern time of Freemasonry around me. And it just ended up that I was fortunate enough to do things that went overseas. And really, this world is getting smaller and smaller
as
technology advances.
Definitely. So remind everyone, I know you said it in the last episode, but it's been a couple of years. When did you actually start painting aprons?
Started painting my first hand painted apron was in 2010, and it was my own. It was my own past master's apron. I was the master of Hensel Lodge 2008-2009, and so in 2010 I decided, hey, you know, I'd like to do what was on my mind and start with myself. And after being successful with that, people saw my apron, I'd wear it, and they'd say, ooh, I like that, how could I get one? And so I've only really done aprons for people who I felt like a connection with, and that's the only way that I'll do an apron, is if I feel like that I have a brotherly connection with the person, so that I know that I'm really getting the spirit of what's meaningful for them
on
the apron. Which brings us to this apron. I felt like, you know, I felt a connection to you, Marty, and Wes, and all you guys, you know, you're just great guys, had me on for a Masonic Painted Apron podcast.
Yeah, I think it was like episode 4 or something.
You remember, Yoshi?
Yeah, that was God.
That was the beginning.
Yeah, that was within the first 5 episodes.
I wasn't around.
No, you weren't.
You weren't even a Mason then.
No, you weren't even a Mason. Yeah. I don't think we even had met at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, time keeps going, and, you know, just like little points on a line or that level of time, we're all traveling toward the same place and
unraveling those ringlets, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Until finally. But, yeah, so that brought me to this opportunity, which actually you, Marty, asked me if I would do. Mm-hmm. And when I was asked, of course, I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Listen, whenever Marty asks you for anything, we're all like,
right. Not me. Not me. I jump willingly 2 feet right in the water.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the thing is, it's just such a time commitment, and I will never do anything halfway, and this is kind of what got me in trouble my whole life, because, you know, even when I was, I'm a teacher now, I teach visual arts, and I've been an artist my whole life, doing freelance work, but there was a span of time that I was actually an operative mason and tradesman, and I would really take pride in my work, and it would bother the foreman, you know, like, come on, Wilcox, let's go today, right? Let's go Picasso. Yeah. So, you know, I really wish that I could have worked on like cathedrals and things, but I was working in residential and anyway, commercial and then refractory, and I kind of like worked my way up, and then I was just like, in true Wilcox fashion, I said, well, why don't I try this? And that's why I went into masonry as a trade, because I was interested in it for the philosophical reasons, And actually, the first day that I became an entered apprentice, I became an apprentice mason.
Yeah.
So, which was really cool. But so all that kind of is who I am. And I, when I do a Masonic apron, I'm putting actual operative knowledge into it, mm-hmm. along with what I really enjoy is the esoteric, the philosophical. I spend time listening to people from all different backgrounds, faiths, religions, and different bodies that I'll attend or take officer positions in or just be a fly on the wall. And all that goes into my apron. So that apron that I made has a lot of symbolism in it.
Yeah, it really does. Honestly, you do not skip out of anything. Every apron I've seen you produce is excellent. And the detail, and honestly, the detail. I mean, really, if you're not a Freemason, you're not. You're just like, well, what is this here? What
and they're
is
that never there? A carbon right. copy.
No, they are not. Okay, they look, are unique. Each and every one.
If you
of
look
them,
at Valancourt's past master's apron, or what, I love when his, he wears, by the way, I love oh, it with you. The you with your interpretation job. Of the yeah. amazing. Yeah. You look at the one you made for Bulgaria, and you look at this one. They're all artistic. They're all beautiful. But if you had told me three different guys made those. Mm-hmm. I would be inclined to believe you mm-hmm. because you're not very repetitive in your work, which is just so refreshing.
I appreciate that. And, you know, that goes to my portfolio or my reputation. I don't solicit people. They come by word of mouth to me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's kind of the Masonic spirit, really. Mm-hmm. For thousands of years, people have approached the Masonic door out of seeking.
Yeah.
And then they knock. And ask and knock and gain admission if they're worthy. So to me, it's like you have to be really worthy in order for me to do an apron because it's a huge time commitment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, 80 hours is the average. And this apron is one that you can actually wear. It's in a presentation case. It comes with a little bio on me. But I'll share with you a couple of the images.
Is it... Do you have a picture of yourself? Is it serious, Aaron? Yeah, there's or is it?
Oh, yeah, there's no picture. No.
I don't know. It might be like half serious. But I'll share with you the picture of Valancourt's apron.
Yeah, we'll probably flash them all up if we haven't already.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the people who are bidding on this, actually not bidding, it's a raffle.
It's a raffle, yes.
Yeah.
When you're buying tickets for this, I want you to know what the lineage is of these aprons and that you're buying something very special. This is not something that you could easily get anywhere. And actually, I caught somebody trying to reproduce my aprons.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, actually,
yeah. So somebody tried to reproduce your apron, which looks like this.
Yeah. No, it was like a screen print and it was just... insane.
Were they within the States or was this more of a... No,
actually, I think it was down in Florida and some guy from the Middle East had opened up a print shop. And it was Carl Hearn, actually, Carlos Hernandez, that tipped me off to that. So thank you.
Well, that happens to him a lot.
Yeah, that happens to him like on a daily.
Yeah.
Like somebody somewhere, whatever, is trying to be like, look at our original designs. That's not yours.
So if anybody is selling at refreshment stuff and it doesn't come from us, it's not.
Yeah, if you don't hit us up and we don't message you back, it is fake.
If anybody's selling at refreshment stuff, it's not real.
You know what? It's not even us because we haven't sold a damn thing. But if you were to sell it, I'm sure it would go to charity. The proceeds would go to charity.
Oh, yeah. No. All the money that's going to be gained for this, it's going to go to an apron. It's going to go to a great charity. And honestly, man, like, the grand chapter couldn't be more happy.
Yeah.
You know, more proud.
Everyone on the grand chapter side has been very impressed. I'm pretty sure, I think every grand chapter officer has bought a slew of tickets.
How much are these tickets?
Tickets are going to be $20 a piece.
Easy round number.
Generally, that's the way I like to work.
Well worth it.
If we have a link up and you want to. If we can raise hundreds of dollars just to have Pat Robin read a Christmas book, we can definitely. Get people to chip in for a custom apron.
I don't want to say what my goal is on the project right now. Just I don't want to jinx myself in any form or fashion. I'll be very transparent at the end. Sales are very good so far. This debuted in August, at the banquet for all three heads of the York Rite in the State, the chapter council and commandery. Went amazing that night. And every time I brought it out, it's been a big hit. We'll be in, this is going to be dated, but we will be in Champaign next weekend. We have some RMCF fundraisers coming up. We have the Joint Word Day. So this apron is going to be on a statewide, probably about 11 more destination tour before we end up at our Grand York Rite weekend, where it will be raffled off at the gala night. Okay. That'll be when it's officially going to be pulled. But it has been a hit, and I actually I will give one shout out to who's bought the most tickets so far, and that would be Bo Cook. We love you, buddy.
I think really he would. He would.
I think
too.
He was the first he one would. To buy tickets, and he bought the most at once. So God bless you, sir.
I could totally see Bo winning it, not only because of the plethora of tickets that he's purchased, but because have you seen his apron wall?
No, I have not.
No.
I mean,
He wants us.
Bo, I want to see the apron wall, buddy. Yeah, let's see that apron wall.
This is presentation quality. It's in a shadow box. But you know what? I mean, these guys do a lot of great work for the York Rite. I have never taken an officer position. And, you know, this is my contribution. Make your contribution by buying as many raffle tickets as you can to help the charities. It's not to help the... Royal Arch.
No, it's not even helping it's the Royal Arch. It's helping the charity. This is direct charity.
It's all going to the charity.
Yeah, every last penny. So none of it's going to the Grand Chapter. Yeah. It is to the charities.
Just do what you can. Know, so. You know,
not to our Masonic.
We all do what we can.
Yeah.
When you're asked to contribute, I think that you should, just like I did with the apron. And spreading light is an important thing. It's just that, you know, I just want to preface this with, I'm nobody special. I'm on the level.
Neither are we.
It's just, you know, I've learned things and meditated on things. And as a speculative Mason, as we all are, that's the most important part of the work, is to really speculate, to really think of, why is it that we do what we do? I mean, it's easy enough to show up to get away from your humdrum life or whatever and go out for a drink after your lodge, which, you know, is always a good thing. But you know, how do you really become a better person by really taking to heart what it is that we go through in our degrees and in our daily life? So that's why I'm here to share what.
And we're big on education, and I know, you know, we do some education things on here, and we're a little bit more loosey goosey, but there is that other side to us where we go.
You know,
to
we have. I think we have a nice like. Buffet of different things that we do, you know, that we talk about. Each episode is different. You're going to get something new. You're going to get an education. You're going to get just, you know, stories.
Oh, you've totally done, you know, a lot of education. I mean, we've learned so much from your podcasts over the years. The difference with this
Marty
one
looks a little confused when you
No.
Well, it's a different setting. Marty's going to be a little confused. He's wondering what's going with the Coke.
Yeah.
And in this setting, there's nothing going with the Coke. It's just regular Coke or water, right? So, you know, maybe he looks a little out of his element.
He might be feverish in a little bit.
Who because, are you?
People? You know, the at refreshment had been really kind of in a bar setting, and here with this at refreshment, we're going to be changing it up, and it's going to be within the lodge. You know, it's the furniture in the lodge is going to imply that we're at the time that we're at refreshment. And a lot of the education that occurs doesn't happen really during the degree when you're like confused or, you know, when they're opening and closing lodge or talking about the bills or whatever. A lot of that education is happening when you are at refreshment or you're at fellowship time or you're waiting for the lodge to open and you're sitting and you're talking to somebody who's read a few more books than you have, or maybe you read the same book but had a different take on it.
Right,
yeah. So, you know, this is how we all, it's kind of
healthy debate is a great way to learn. You
know, it is.
Debate and conversation for sure.
Healthy debate.
Healthy debate.
You
healthy
know,
debate,
like some people take it a little too, far, but, you know.
We all try to think outside the box, but even when we think outside the box, we're still in our own box. And truly, the way to think outside the box is to try to understand somebody else's point of view.
I'm
So, Aaron, if you can, real quick, give us a, tell us what this
is. A summation of this?
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, one of the things that I've lately been kind of doing is contemplating some of the tools and why we have them. And one of the things that I knew for a long time, being an operative Mason, was how to check a tool. This is an A-frame level. This is just something that I made, and it's able to prove level and also degrees. And there's furniture in the lodge that I could check this against. And then there's also the symbolic
tool that I have. Well, you know, this is their lodge. It's a little crooked around.
Yeah. I'd be able to tell pretty quickly. using my...
Don't check one marching line. It's not there.
Using my tool. Right. But as a Mason, we have this also inside of us as we learn, as we do the philosophical
work. Right.
How that happens, how we check our tools against the furniture in the lodge and what that means inside of us and inside of our brothers as a whole. And
awesome.
So I don't want to give too much away on that because, you know, it's actually a pretty long discussion.
No, but it's exciting.
It's very simple. It's so simple. It's beautiful. And I think that that's what Freemasonry is. We have all these really simple tools and teachings, and they're just so beautiful and harmonious with each other. And when you put them together, one leads to another, and it helps to explain the next piece, and it fills in a missing part of you.
Amen. Right. Simple tools built a great pyramid.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. That's absolutely.
It's a pretty good line
there.
The
thing is that we get so deep into these technical things that explain so much, and you're just kind of like, okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But when the simplest thing, like the tab on packing tape, you didn't know it's there, you just press it down and roll it.
That's how you find the edge of the
cable. You're like, oh my gosh, how long have I been using this? And the simple things just blow your mind.
That reminds me of the first time I figured out how to open
up this. For instance, it's to hold the straw.
Oh, that holds the straw. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's cool. Of course, I don't use a straw, but that's cool.
Simple tools.
Yeah.
Simple tools.
That's interesting.
If you want to.
The first time I learned how to open up a spray can without banging the top. you just squeeze the sides. Just simple. Just squeeze the sides.
And pops weird. Up. That's how we get Yoshi out of his pants.
Really?
Yeah.
Just squeeze the sides.
Just squeeze the sides.
I've heard that legend. that's in one of those appended body degrees. One that's been amputated, I believe.
All right. Well, that does it for our show. Aaron, thank you for coming out. And we're not really drinking, but does anybody have a shout out they'd like to give to somebody?
God, almost just to Aaron himself and to everyone at home watching this. If you're seeing this video, that means the online link to purchase these raffle tickets online is available. Please consider doing it. You're supporting a great cause. Currently, it's Hope Center in Illinois, and it'll be another great autism center soon. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Aaron.
Check the link below.
Absolutely. I have three.
We're going to try.
Three nephews that are autistic, and I myself am dyslexic, so we have quite a bit of things within the Masonic family for my family. But please do your best to support. If you feel like you haven't been attending or you haven't stepped up, this is your chance. So please do
support. Love it.
Excellent. All right, everyone, that's our episode. If you haven't figured it out with the stuff going on the screen, you watch us on YouTube, Rumble, listen to us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a plethora of other things. So
don't forget to smash like and subscribe.
That too. Thank you for watching, and we will be back with more.
Love you guys.